Kia ora tato. Welcome to visitors. We have some grandparents and whatever other parts of the family they are. And I think I see a few other faces that have come for the service. And we have a few angels and animals around, which is great. So any visitors, please stay for morning tea and we will meet up with you. We're going to start by lighting the Advent wreath. So you go up there. And we've got some of the children are going to come up and light it for us. So make sure that it goes down. So I'm going to read the first part. Sarah now runs a successful startup business that is making a big difference for her family. After the 2015 Nepal earthquake caused extensive damage in the Far East where she lives, Saru had to leave school to support her siblings and parents. With a cash grant from ACT Alliance Nepal, she set up a small shop selling tea, snacks and treats. Most of the money she earns pays for the school fees of her brothers and sisters. At first it was hard, especially arguing with people who buy things on credit. But I feel less shy now, says Saru.
First Advent calendar represents our call
to hope. Okay, one of you boys light the... So take this. Light it off there and we'll light one of the purple ones.
This candle is a symbol of the joy of God being with us.
We're going to light the rainbow room candle as well. So this is to symbolise that... symbolise that we are inclusive and to remember all those children that are part of St Andrew's who aren't here today. Okay, so you help me light this one. Just hold the end. So to conclude our Advent prayers, we're going to stay sitting and sing together the Māori Lord's Prayer. Kia tai mai tu rangatiratanga. Kia mea te tau e pai ai ki runga ki te whenua. Kia rite anō ki tō te rangi. O mai kia mātou ai nei. He tāro mā mātou mō tēne rā. Mururo matu hara, me matu ahoki e murune. I o te hanga e harana, ki a matu. Awa hoki mātou e kāwia, kia whakawaia, engari whakahorangia mātou i te kino. No hoki te ranga te ratanga, te kaha me te karoriha. Ake, ake, ake. Nice. And now we gather ourselves and get up and greet each other, saying peace be with you, or just hello, especially those we don't know. So let's get past the peace. All right. Mark. We have an adapted story with adapted characters. So, here we go. I'll push it right up here.
First Nativity, or creche, was created by St. Francis 900 years after St. Nicholas, according to this story.
I want to make Christmas special for all of my people, of my village.
Francis used to walk in the forests around his village and talk to the birds and animals. He was thinking about the shepherds who looked after the sheep and had an idea for Christmas Eve celebrations in his village. He decided to surprise the villagers with a special experience.
I will help the villagers experience the first Christmas night. All right, now all the animals need to go up and sit around there. And you've got two angels, you can wait a little while. Oh, here, grab one of those animals and take it up.
Later that night.
Wait till they're up there. Cool. Up we go. Up you go. Up you go.
Later that night, Francis's friend led the villagers up to a cave, each with their lanterns burning. When the villagers reached the cave, they grew silent in wonder. They saw a mother seated with her baby, surrounded by animals. Francis stepped out from the shadows and said to the villagers,
I think I missed that. Go. Oh, that's me. Sorry, I'm being director and character. This child of Bethlehem was born among animals in simple surroundings like this. Just sit down, you guys. The shepherds came like you to see the special birth.
In the dark, cold night, the villagers felt like they were visitors at the stable in Bethlehem, watching the animals and baby that Jesus and baby Jesus with his mother Mary. They sensed angels nearby as they listened to Francis speak,
angels.
And they were filled with joy.
Joseph went to Bethlehem to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
When the story was over, the villagers, filled with love and awe, all followed the baby and his mother back under the stars. They never forgot that Christmas.
First reading is Luke 1 from verse 36. It's Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies God, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour, who has been mindful of my humble state. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is God's name, whose mercy extends from generation to generation, who has performed mighty deeds, scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. God has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. God has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. God has helped the servant people Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as was promised our ancestors." And Of Giving by Kahlil Gibran. "You give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. For what are your possessions but things you keep and guard for fear you may need them tomorrow? And what is fear of need but need itself? It is not dread of thirst when your well is full, the thirst that is unquenchable." There are those who give little of the much which they have, and they give it for recognition and their hidden desire to make their gifts unwholesome. And there are those who have little and give it all. These are the believers in life and the bounty of life, and their coffer is never empty. There are those who give with joy, and that joy is their reward. And there are those who give with pain, and that pain is their baptism. And there are those who give and know not pain in giving, nor do they seek joy, nor give with mindfulness of virtue. They give, as in yonder valley the myrtle breathes its fragrance into space. Through the hands of such as these, God speaks, and from behind their eyes, God smiles upon the earth. It is well to give when asked, but it is better to give unasked, through understanding. And to the open-handed, the search for one who shall receive is joy greater than giving. And is there aught you would withhold? All you have shall someday be given. Therefore, give now, that the season of giving may be yours and not your inheritors. You often say, "I would give, but only to the deserving." The trees in your orchard say, "Not so," nor the flocks in your pasture. They give that they may live, for to withhold is to perish. Surely they who are worthy to receive their days and nights is worthy of all else from you. And they who deserve to drink from the ocean of life deserve to fill their cup from your little stream. And what desert greater shall there be than that which lies in the courage and the confidence, nay, the charity of receiving? And who are you that people would rend their bosom and unveil their pride, that you may see their worth naked and their pride unabashed? See first that you yourself deserve to be a giver and an instrument of giving. For in truth it is life that gives unto life, while you, who deem yourself a giver, are but a witness. And you receivers, and you are all receivers, assume no weight of gratitude, lest you lay a yoke upon yourself and upon those who give. Rather, raise together with the giver on their gift as on wings, for to be over mindful of your debt is to doubt the generosity of those who have free-hearted earth and generous God for parents. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
And now the choir is going to lead us, teach us a hymn which we will then sing. The music is over the page, if you need it. Thank you. Okay, you guys, you got your script? Up there. There's your paper there.
This is a Zen story told by a panda to some children. Uncle Rai and the Moon. My Uncle Rai lived alone in a small house up in the hills. He didn't know many things. He lived a simple life. One evening he discovered he had a visitor. A robber had broken into the house and was rummaging through my uncle's few belongings. The robber didn't notice Uncle Rai, and when my uncle said, "Hello," the robber was so startled he almost fell down. My Uncle Rai smiled at the robber and shook his hand.
"How nice of you to visit."
The robber opened his mouth to speak, but he couldn't think of anything to say. Because Rai never lets anyone leave empty-handed, he looked around the tiny hut for a gift for the robber, but there was nothing to give. The robber began to back toward the door. He wanted to leave. At last, Uncle Rai knew what to do. He took off his only robe, which was old and tattered.
"Here, take this."
The robber thought my uncle was crazy. He took the robe, dashed out the door, and escaped into the night. My uncle sat and looked at the moon, its silvery light spilling over the mountains, making all the things quietly beautiful.
"Poor man, all I had to give was my old tattered robe. If only I could give him this wonderful moon."
Thank you. Well, we've had a variety of little dramas and some great acting and lovely animals and angels. When I started planning this service, in fact, quite a while ago, I had the idea of using St. Nicholas as a theme, because he sounded very interesting and related to Christmas, and therefore giving as well. So that is sort of is the theme of the message, I guess. However, then I went through and found lots of dramas and stories about St. Nicholas, but not many of them were fun to dramatize. There was people dying in the plague and not very related to Christmas at all. So firstly, I'm just going to give you a resume of what I found out about St. Nicholas, just for our edumacation. So in the 4th century, this young man called Nicholas inherited lots of money after his parents died in the plague. And he had a lot of compassion for those who were without and starving in the plague. And he went... Oh, I'm going to have to wait a second. He went and secretly threw oranges and money through the windows of people in need. Money. His generosity continued when he gave money secretly to a poor father for each of his three daughters so they could be married rather than be servants. Apparently it was thrown down the chimney. And lost my place. Ah, and fell into some socks that had been hung up to dry. Nicholas became a bishop in Turkey, and there are many stories of his generosity and miraculous happenings. He is now the saint of children. He travelled throughout Europe and gained a helper in Spain, Black Peter. They travelled by boat to Holland, where they gave gifts to the children. They return each year in Europe on the 6th of December and leave presents in the stockings and the children's clogs or shoes. You'll get round to that. Which they'd left by the fire. That's fine. In America, his name, Saint Nicholas, became Santa Claus. And in England, he's called Father Christmas. It's a little bit unfortunate that Black Peter and Santa have been associated with discipline of who has been naughty and nice, rather than the unconditional generosity shown by St. Nicholas, which we would all like to show. St. Nick only became a Christmas tradition relatively recently, moving to Christmas Eve in some countries like ours, only in the last few hundred years. Perhaps it is because Christmas is such a special day where Jesus' birth is seen as a gift to the whole world that Santa now comes on Christmas Eve to remind us how special we are. So that's my little summary of St. Nick. And now just a wee reflection on giving. And I have to say that some of this comes in my role as time bank coordinator. Often when I'm signing new people up, we talk about giving and how in the time bank it's reciprocal. So those sort of two worlds of mine have are related. So, of course, the tradition of giving began with the wise men, strangers offering gifts to Jesus, an unknown baby who came to change the world. We might, of course, wonder at the motivation of those wise men who travelled far to find Jesus. There are many, many contexts and examples of giving and receiving. Caring for a baby is one example, because it seems very one way, except, of course, it brings great joy. We can give anonymously, like St. Nicholas did, or give to an organisation, through an organisation who helps others. Sometimes it's difficult to give or receive from those who are close to us, and sometimes there seems an obligation to give or to repay. Other times, people are grateful to receive for many reasons. And sometimes there are occasions when we don't even know the importance of what we have given and get embarrassed by the thanks we get. My key thought is that giving is best done in relationship. The better we know the recipient, the more appropriate the gift or the help we offer. And it is less likely to be perceived as charity. In the prophet that we heard, he says, "It is well to give when asked, but it is better to give unasked, through understanding," so knowing what is needed. In relationship, it is more likely that all parties will know each other's needs. Somehow, our giving should have a sense of being unconditional, but there is that value in it being reciprocal, all sorts of reasons why that is good as well. Sometimes being open to getting thanks or a reward can be a good thing. If we are gracious receivers, it helps remove the difference between the haves and the have-nots. I have seen this in work with refugees, where a relationship is built up, and often they like to offer something in return, for example, food from their culture. Our motivation for giving is manifold, as it says in the prophet. I quote, "There are those who have little and give it all. There are those who give with joy, and that joy is their reward. There are those who give with pain, and that pain is their baptism. And there are those who give and know not pain in giving, nor do they seek joy, nor give with the mindfulness of virtue." So we can acknowledge that it feels good to be generous, and the prophet warns us. Again, they give it for recognition, and their hidden desire makes their gifts unwholesome. So reflecting on the whole context of giving, our last little skit, Uncle Rye in the Zen skit, shows us an attitude of generosity, valuing the moon more than things, and wanting even the robber to feel the joy he felt. Again, a quote from the prophet. "You give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give." And so, again, in building a relationship, it is our time and understanding that are the greatest gifts we can give, and they are best if they are reciprocal. We're going to think, reflect on giving. And the way we're going to do that today, in your order of service, it's got the instructions that I'm going to read about receiving and giving. I just want you to sit quietly and consider the most significant gift you have received. And you may want to share that with someone around you. Then consider the most special gift you think you have given someone else. And as a way of acknowledging that, of us getting out of our seats, and the children will lead us, you are welcome then to come up and hang one of the baubles on the Christmas tree, just as a symbol of your reflection. So if you children want to think of presents that you have either given or received, and then hang one of the decorations on the Christmas tree, okay? Who else is welcome to come and hang a bauble if they would like. So let us give thanks for the generosity expressed in our universe. Let us appreciate love shown, given, and received. Give us joy to share all of this Christmas season.